If you have walked through a wooded area very much, or if you have a rose bush in your yard, you no doubt have come into contact with thorns. And as we study God's Word, we can find thorns mentioned in the real sense, but also in a symbolic sense, for example, representing difficulties one faces in life. So this morning, let's study together thorns found in the Bible, and let's learn many lessons to apply to our lives. And we'll want to begin this study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE. And we all should know that stands for the most important thing we could be doing with our life, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, that is, with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. And something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies. We can sit down together and open up God's Word and study together at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, please send those to us. Our address again is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Before we get into our study, I want to announce the upcoming 42nd Annual Stop 11 Road Church of Christ Lectureship. It's just around the corner. This is to begin Sunday, November the 5th, and goes through Thursday, November the 9th. And I'm privileged and honored to be a speaker on this lectureship. I'm to speak Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and then Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. So I hope to see you there. Tell me that you listen to the program. I would really appreciate that and getting to meet you. This is a great lectureship, and not because I'm on it, but because of a bunch of sound brethren that are able to shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. And I look forward to this every year and hope you'll be able to make it. Now, right after the lectureship is over, it ends on Thursday, November the 9th. The next night, Friday, November the 10th, will be the beginning of our gospel meeting here at Morgan Street. And we're having one of the speakers from the lectureship, who is Brother Bill Boyd, an excellent preacher from Tennessee, does an outstanding job, and we look forward to our meeting right after the lectureship. So that goes through from November the 10th through November the 12th, and we'll have more to say about that as well. So make your plans, and we look forward to seeing you at both the lectureship and our gospel meeting. Now let's get to our study this morning. Thorns found in the Bible. We're going to start with Genesis 3, 17 and 18. And notice what God said to Adam after he and Eve had sinned. They had taken the forbidden fruit and ate of it, which they were not to do. The tree in the midst of the garden, the knowledge and of good and evil, they were not to eat of that. So this is the results, what God said unto Adam. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So had Adam and Eve not sinned, there wouldn't be thorns and thistles. No, that wouldn't have happened. Of course, we need to think about how wonderful paradise must have been before Adam and Eve sinned. They walked and talked with God, and they had all they needed. There was no sorrow. There was no health problems, no injustices, no storms, and no thorns in paradise. Oh, that's such a good thought to think about before sin entered the world. Well, Adam and Eve, they rejected God's spoken word. When they disobeyed God's commands not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happens today when man rejects the word of God? He is left without true purpose and direction in life. That's the case, isn't it? He's hopelessly lost in his sins and destined to spend eternity in the fires of hell. This is the importance of getting out the word of God. At least give people the opportunity to hear the truth. Now, it's not popular for so many people, don't want to hear it. We can't force it upon them, but we need to take advantages of opportunities when we have them, and seek out opportunities, of course. So the thorns of the cursed ground should remind us of how sin is the most serious problem of man, because it separates man from God and places a burden upon his soul. Notice Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, and he will not hear you. And he will not hear. So we need to understand the seriousness of sin, how it's, of course, the most serious problem of mankind. Sin, as a flood across the sea of humanity, leaves behind a wake of desolation, misery, and death. Notice Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we need to understand, the gift of God. We don't deserve it, but we must do something in order to receive it. That is, obey the gospel. Because it's through Jesus Christ that we're able to have eternal life. And we must submit to his teaching and obey the gospel of Christ. James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's what we need to understand here. But let's go on in our study and notice the thorns of Canaan. As we notice what God said to the Israelites before they were to enter into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Numbers chapter 33, verse 52. Then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. Now verse 55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns, there it is, in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Well, before Joshua died, he exhorted the Israelites to remain faithful to God and not go back and cleave to the remnant of those nations that were to be driven out, the pagan nations, Joshua 23:12. Well, what would happen if they did not obey God? Notice Joshua 23:13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Remember, in Deuteronomy 7:1-3, as God prepared the new generation that would go into the promised land, as the old generation died out in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb. But notice, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. This again, Deuteronomy 7:1-3. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, and thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. They were to be wiped out. You see, these people would not accept God, the Creator of all mankind. And they were not to contaminate the nation of Israel. Now, this is obviously a difficult passage for some to grab a hold of. But let's not question God. The small children and babies, they will be in paradise. That's right. God knew the hearts of man. We're not able to do that. But God knows everything about every one of us. And let's not question God. But what we're looking at here is what happened if they would not obey God. And as you go over to Judges 1:21, for example, what do we find? And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. They disobeyed God. In 27-33, Judges 2:10-13, you can see disobedience to the command of God and his warnings through Moses and Joshua. They did not heed, despite God keeping all his promises to the Israelites. Joshua 23:14 declares that. So the lesson here for us today, these thorns of Canaan, God has drawn lines of fellowship for his church, the church of Christ. Christ died for the church, purchased it with his blood. He's the head of the church. It's his body. He's the foundation. Shouldn't we call it the church of Christ? From the scriptures, Romans 16:16. Well, notice Ephesians 5:11 here. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's right. That's scriptural. Those that are in darkness, we're not to have fellowship with them as if they're okay with God. Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Well, are we to obey the Word of God or just ignore this? This is the Word of God. And God has drawn lines of fellowship for His church. And we need to follow the Word of God, despite how many would refuse to do so. 2 John 9-11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That's not difficult to understand, is it? We're not to help people that are teaching false doctrine, inviting them in and helping them on their way to do that which is evil. 1 Timothy 6:3-5, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Again, that's God's word. Titus 3:10-11, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Are we following the scriptures? So these are thorns of Canaan that give us a lesson for the church today, are they not? God has drawn lines of fellowship for his church. But let's go on. The thorns of care. Notice what the thorns represent in the parable of Jesus, which was about four types of soils. We often refer to it as the parable of the sower. But this is really dealing with four types of hearts. Each soil was representing a type of heart. And notice Matthew 13:22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So here we have among the thorns, the word of God is the seed. The seed represents the word of God. And the sower goes out and is preaching and teaching the word of God. And this type of heart, this thorny soil, is representing the heart which receives the word, but after growing only so far, as a Christian, he allows distractions, such as the cares of the world, to turn his heart away from God. And notice Luke's account, Luke 8:14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So are we understanding that we can become a child of God and then lose our salvation because we're allowing the cares and riches and pleasures of this life to choke out the Word of God? Now that's not a situation anyone should want to be in. So we need to be aware of that. We have to keep focused on things above, not on this earth, but things above, and remain faithful no matter what happens. Only one of the four types of hearts in the parable is acceptable to God. But he that receiveth seed under the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So have we allowed the cares, riches, and pleasures of this world to turn our hearts away from God? Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 12:15. Here's what can keep our hearts, our minds. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. But let's go on and notice the thorns of a Christian. Notice what God gave Paul to prevent him from thinking too highly of himself. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. And lest I should be exalted above measure there through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Here it is. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul prayed 3 times to God to have it remove, this thorn of the flesh. And here's God's reply. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul immediately understood, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So Paul's thorn in the flesh was something that caused him discomfort and hindered him, but he became stronger. Because of his weakness in the flesh, he realized that God's grace was sufficient. Verse 9. And what about our thorns in the flesh? Do we allow them to make us weaker or stronger in our faith? We need God. We must see that or we're in trouble. We're not going to get anywhere in this life. It's going to be all vanity, as Solomon concluded, when we leave out God. The sooner we realize, as Jeremiah of old did, the better. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Without Christ we can do nothing. Period. John 15:5. But through Christ we can do all things which strengtheneth us. Philippians 4:13. That's what we're looking at here, the thorns of a Christian that can help us to grow stronger, closer to God. But one final point we want to make here, and that's the thorns of a crown. Notice what kind of crown Jesus was given. John 19:2-5. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. God in the flesh is being treated as a common thief. And notice, Pilate therefore went forth again, saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Well, in Matthew's account, we notice they stripped him and put on that scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of Jews, King of the Jews. And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head, beating on God in the flesh. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment, and they led him away to crucify him. That's right. They led him away to be crucified for our sins, not his. Yes, this is the thorns of a crown. The King of Kings was given this crown of thorns, which would cut into his flesh as they are mocking him, these pagan soldiers, not understanding, of course, who he really is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the Creator. As you see here, by him was all things made. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Well, our Lord and Savior endured this mockery and the cruel death on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Hebrews 12:2. With this attitude, then said Jesus, as he's on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots, Luke 23:34. How many today are mocking Jesus, our Savior, making jokes, saying Jesus never existed? Some do. Taking his name in vain. How often do we hear that? Some say he was a homosexual or that he had relations with Mary Magdalene. Just outright blasphemy. I remember years ago watching a preview of a new channel, and the program suggested that Jesus asked Judas to betray him. What was their source? The Gospel of Judas, a Gnostic paper written years after the first century. Just making a mockery of our Lord and Savior. As Christians, we must not allow the worldly attitudes to creep into our hearts, but we need to stand fast on the Word of God. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Hebrews 3:14. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware. Seeing you know these things before, you should. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:17-18. So we've seen the thorns of the cursed ground, the thorns of Canaan, the thorns of care, the thorns of a Christian, and the thorns of Christ in the Scriptures. What lessons have we learned to draw us even closer to God? If we have left God, we need to return today. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We have to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, making a change of wills, and then make the good confession unto salvation, stating, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God." Then we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and he adds us to his body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful, even if it means our death. And we'll have the victory. This is what we need to understand from the Scriptures. We want to thank you so much for listening today.